There, now everybody can hear me. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It's good that we can come into the presence of our Lord and offer Him our praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. As we come for worship, a couple of brief announcements before we begin. First, a thank you to Ariel, who's back with us this morning on the piano and sharing her musical gifts with us in the leadership of worship. Next Sunday morning is going to be we will be celebrating All Saints Day. We will remember all those from our congregation who have passed away in the last year and those for whom we have delivered pastoral care around the times of mourning. And we're also just aware that within the lives of many of our congregation, there are moments of mourning and sadness that come around during the year that don't directly affect us. And so if there are names of individuals that you would like to have included in prayer as part of next week's service, please contact the church office. And finally, for those who are taking part in the Bible study, the books have arrived. So I was going to try to delegate this, but I didn't do that beforehand. So come and see me following worship, and I will make sure that you have a book before you leave this morning. And as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that we walk in the light of the Lord and seek to dwell in His pathways. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call, and it will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the house of the Lord. Our God of salvation is the hope of all the ends of the earth.
The Lord stands with us and strengthens us.
East and west shout for joy.
As God brings us safely into the kingdom.
We shout in triumph. We sing to the Lord.
To God be the glory forever and ever.
Let us pray. God of thieves and rogues, adulterers, tax collectors, and even religious leaders, be merciful to us in our sin and merciful in our righteousness, so that the humble may be lifted up and the haughty brought low. Teach us this day to trust in you and you alone. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is found at number 39 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens, God of Mercy, God of Grace. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screen. Even before we admit our sin, God promises to hear us with mercy. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let us therefore call on God as we confess our sins and say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screen. Sovereign God, we confess that we have not turned away from your sin. We celebrate our achievements and look down on our neighbors. We boast about our virtues and deny the worth of others. Forgive us, God of grace. Be merciful to us, for we are indeed sinners in great need of redemption. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Sisters and brothers, the good news is so good that we can scarce believe it. God does not hold our sin against us, but pours out abundant grace. Give thanks to the Lord. Share the gospel far and near. In Jesus Christ, you have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Unexpected events is what we're going to talk about this morning in worship. So as we think about the readings that we're going to hear, try to listen with a new and look for a new understanding. One of the things that often happens for us as we get a little bit older in worship, certainly, but I think even for some of the younger people in church, is that we kind of think we know how the story ends. And so sometimes Jesus can surprise us. There was a joke that went once upon a time. It's my favorite minister joke, okay? So you got to bear with me and you will hear it again. But a minister came to the front of the church on a Sunday morning. It was Easter Sunday with all of the children there. And the minister said, "Tell me, children, who came this morning?" And the children just sat there and they gave no response. So he said, "Well, let me think. He has white fur and a fluffy tail and long ears." And one little boy turned to the fellow beside him and he said, "You know, I know the answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds like the Easter Bunny." Sometimes we need to listen carefully and allow God to speak to us through the words. Sometimes the word is surprising to us when Jesus speaks to us. So this morning, as we come and we hear the scriptures being read, listen for the surprises that lie within them. Because God is always a God of surprises. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. By your Spirit, make yourself known to us through the reading and the preaching of your word, that we might be faithful witnesses to this life and joyful companions in the next. Even with Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament, Joel, chapter 2, reading verses 23 to 32. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army that I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls.
Our next reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed.
O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come.
When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transactions.
Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall all be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple.
By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hopes of all of the earth, ends of the earth, and of the farthest seas.
By your strength you establish the mountains. You are girded with might.
You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples.
Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and evening shout for joy.
You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it.
Your waters it furrows abundantly, setting its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth.
You crown the year with your bounty, your wagon tracks overflow with richness.
The pastures of the wilderness overflow, the hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Our next reading is from the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 to 8 and 16 to 18. 6 to 8, sorry. As for me, I already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I will rescue from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me from his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
And our final reading is from the New Testament, Luke, chapter 18, reading verses 9 to 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to the heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down from his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us sing the hymn, Fight the Good Fight. It is found at page 690 in the Book of Praise, or the words will appear before you on the screen. Fight the Good Fight.
Oh,
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Unexpected grace. Now, true confession time as we start the sermon this morning. I think we all really like it, don't we? When people get what we think they truly deserve, right? We look for that, I don't know, is it justice in the universe that means that people get what they deserve? That the person who's always kind of pushing the boundaries finally gets a little bit of pushback? We like it when that happens. When that chippy hockey player who's always a pest to his opponents gets caught with his head down, skating through center ice, we all like it when he gets checked, don't we? When that person who always parks in the wrong spot finally gets caught and ticketed, or maybe even better, the car gets towed away, we always like that, don't we? So, because that's who we are, I mean, that it's kind of part of our human condition, we can imagine how the crowd would have felt when they listened to this parable that Jesus has just shared. When Jesus begins this parable that we've just heard read this morning with these words, two men went up to the temple to pray, a tax collector and a Pharisee. Now, surely with those words alone, the whole crowd would have leaned in en masse just to see what Jesus was going to say. Surely this is one of those stories in which someone's finally going to get what they deserve. Boy, I wouldn't want to be that tax collector. You see, tax collectors in Jesus' day were absolutely despised by their society. Unlike today, where a professional civil service examines your tax return to ensure that you're submitting the correct amount of tax, this tax collector was a little more rough and ready than someone who works for the Canada Revenue Agency. This tax collector was, well, I guess in modern terms we'd call him an independent contractor of sorts, who was given the right to collect taxes from by the Roman authorities and who then hired thugs to go out and make sure that people paid their taxes. All that was required from the Romans was that they receive the amount of tax revenue that they thought was coming to them. The tax collector, for his part, made his money by collecting a little more than the Romans required. It was kind of a putting his thumb on the scales, as it were, so that a little more gold might be received. And to ensure that that payment was made, the tax collector hired gentlemen to collect the taxes and to ensure that payment was made. Say no more. And as reprehensible as all of that might sound to us in our 21st century sensibilities, that was not the worst part about this tax collector. In addition to the illegitimate and predatory behavior of many tax collectors, they were also seen as people who had betrayed both their nation and their faith. And in a place like Jerusalem, where nation and faith were so intertwined, well, you can imagine what people thought of the tax collector. By becoming a tax collector for the Roman authorities, these people were collecting money that kept the Roman army present in the land. And in this case, it was not just any land, but it was God's promised land. To work for Rome was to work against God. The tax collector's very purpose and existence struck at the very heart of the promise. And so we can imagine how the people who have gathered to hear Jesus leaned into this parable. And we can imagine how they were expecting that God was going to intervene, just as we heard the surprising ways that God had intervened in, as we heard the reading from the prophet Joel this morning as well. We can imagine that in this world, the tax collector working for the geopolitical superpower of his day seemed just a little beyond justice. And the people were listening for the unexpected grace of God to break in and to hear how justice was going to be meted out by God upon this tax collector. And then, in contrast to this tax collector's Lex Luthor, there is this Superman of the Pharisee. Jesus draws us a picture of a Pharisee in blue tights and a red cape. The Pharisee in this parable is not just living the faithful life, but living in accordance with the code of righteousness and the law laid out living in accordance with the code of righteousness laid out in the law. I knew those three words were going to get me in trouble this morning. But he also observes more than the law. He just doesn't fast on the days that are set aside in Scripture. He fasts twice every week. He just doesn't bring his tithes as set out by the Hebrew Scriptures to the temple, but he brings one-tenth of everything that passes through his household. Everything that he does is this excess of devotion. He is the Superman of faith. As Jesus tells this parable, the crowd surely is right with him. They can almost see the Pharisee as he comes down the center aisle of the temple, ready to offer his prayer. And they can also get a sense of that tax collector moving furtively through the shadows of the columns, trying his best to slide in, be unseen, offer up his prayers, and slip back out again. There couldn't be image of this Pharisee uttering this prayer. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers and even this tax collector. After all, that is what all of them are thinking. They're with him when he prays that prayer. It's the prayer that they pray in the bottom of their heart. As Jesus tells this parable, surely he was able to see how the crowd was responding. Surely Jesus knew that he had them right in the palm of his hands, primed and ready to hear of God's unexpected grace. I tell you this, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Can you imagine the whiplash in the crowd? What? No. Wait. This man? The tax collector? No, Jesus. Not him. the Pharisee. He's the righteous one. Jesus says, no, not the Pharisee, but the one who will lay his heart open to God and lay bare all that he has and all that he has done so that God's grace may fill him. The unexpected part, of course, of this story that Jesus tells this morning is that it continues to speak to us just as much as it speaks to that crowd 2,000 and some odd years ago, does it not? How many of us, when we listen to that parable, if we're not really careful and we haven't heard what I've said so far in the sermon, kind of go to ourselves, gee, I sure am glad I'm not like that Pharisee, aren't I? Glad that I'm a little bit more humble than he is. But when we do that, we fall into that same trap of self-justification that the Pharisee had fallen into when he compared himself to the tax collector. Righteousness, regardless of how we choose to define it, can lead us to that temptation of thinking that maybe we're just a little bit more righteous than somebody else. But the reality of our lives of faith is that in some way or another, what's most important is not how we view other people. Perhaps that's what we're getting at here. But really, it's how we accept that God views us as those who stand in need of forgiveness, in need of help and hope. Unexpected grace. Often we speak about grace in the church as being that free offering that God has given to us, that wonderful love of God that fills us and gives us a new sense of purpose and being. But this morning, the emphasis is on the other word just a little bit. Unexpected grace. Because sometimes that grace comes in ways that we never quite imagined. Sometimes God moves in our lives in ways that we don't understand at the time. But that, as we continue to live forward in hope and expectation, the will and the plans of God reveal themselves to us. Unexpected grace is not what we deserve. Indeed, if we could deserve God's favor, then it's neither unexpected nor is it grace. The Pharisee fully believed that not that God had blessed him in some particularly extraordinary way, but that he had earned God's favor, and that there were others who had not. But for each of us, hopefully we experience the overwhelming love of God that makes itself real in our lives and causes us to think that we don't deserve this, but we're here anyway. We don't deserve God's presence in our lives walking along beside us, but we thank God daily that he is and that he does. Unexpected grace. So let us go, humbly seeking God in all that we do, knowing that as we trust in God, God reveals himself to us in new and unexpected ways. And for that, we give thanks and praise. Amen. with humility for all that God has given to us. Let us gratefully give for the work of the church and for the healing of this world as we present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, you know the joy that is in us when we offer ourselves, our time and our possessions for the work that you have set before us. Use these gifts to heal and teach, to comfort and challenge, that all the world might give you praise this day and forevermore. Amen. Let us continue now in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray for our world and for all the millions of people whom you know, though we do not. We are blessed that we can worship in peace and safety. And we pray this day for Christians around the world facing persecution. In the midst of danger, may they know your abiding presence. And give comfort and strength to those who try to make peace and justice and turn the hearts of minds and minds of those who work against them to good and not evil. We pray for our own leaders, especially at this time when wise leadership is so much needed. Help them to see beyond immediate concerns and to think above all of those who are the most vulnerable in our communities. As we prepare for tomorrow's municipal elections, we pray for those who would lead our community that they may be moved to work for fairness and equality for all citizens. We pray for those who are sick and those who endure difficulty this day. May they know the comfort and the gentle touch of your love, the love that calls us each by our own names and says, "You are mine." God of light and love, you created us for both joy and suffering. You came into the world as our brother and our Savior. You abide with us in the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. Be with us in our speaking and our thinking, and our hearts and souls today and this week. Help us to so live out our lives that we embody the prayer that unites all your people into one. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 370 in the Book of Praise, or the words before you on the screen. Hallelujah, sing to Jesus. The hymn will appear before us on the screens. And just a reminder, there is coffee and some cookies at the back for a time of fellowship at the end of our worship. Let us go out now into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.